Raider Nation, this is Amy Trask, and you are listening to the Black Hole Banter Podcast with James Arcelana and Q. Just win, baby.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
Raider Nation, let's go, let's go. Raider Nation, let's go, let's go. Raider Nation, you ready for some football? You ain't ready for no football. You ain't ready for the Oakland Raiders. It's the invasion of the Oakland Raiders. Are you ready for some football?
What up, Raider Nation? Welcome to another Black Hole Banner Monday. Not a victory Monday, but we're still here doing it for you. This is James Arcelana here with your boy Q. Say what's up, man.
What's up, Raider Nation? We're back at it again. Like my man James said, it's not a victory Monday, but it is a Monday. We're going to get it in. We're going to talk some Raiders. Going to talk some cuts. We're going to talk football. We're going to do it all, man, so let's get it in.
Yes, sir. So before we get to that preseason game, the all-important third preseason game of the year, we're going to talk about the 75-man cut. Not a huge deal, because typically, you know, the 75-man cuts are pretty obvious, pretty clear. Guys you know who aren't going to make the team, pretty much just camp bodies. But there was one name of note in these cuts today, and that was Leon Orr. I was a little surprised to see him go, but it's a sign that this team is getting deep on the D-line.
Yeah, absolutely. That was really one that stood out to me as most, too, was Leon Orr, thinking, you know, he might have a spot on the squad, and who knows, maybe if he doesn't get picked up, maybe he ends up back on the practice squad. Who knows? But that was really the one that stood out to me. And like you mentioned, man, when you cut it down to 75, it's usually not any big super names that you're like, oh my God, how did that happen? It's usually the obvious ones. And I think you mentioned it before on the last podcast that Giorgio Tavecchio was going to get cut after he missed his field goal attempt. And so that was not a no-brainer when I saw his name up there. But besides that, Leon Orr, I think Max McCaffrey was a guy that I thought might have a little bit of something, but he hadn't shown anything in the preseason, so also not a surprise.
Yeah, really. I mean, there were a couple of names that were notable in that they were names, guys like Max McCaffrey because of his dad, Giorgio Tavecchio, because I know a lot of Raiders were hoping that he might actually, you know, push Sebastian Janikowski for that kicker job this year. Didn't happen. We talked about last time, if you're missing an extra point in the preseason, you're not knocking off Janikowski. So it didn't happen this year. Could happen in the future, but Tavecchio said bye-bye. The thing that was big on Orr for me is the fact that he didn't even make it to the 53-man cuts. The 75 is one thing, you know, but this is a guy who I was thinking could maybe get cut into 53-man and stashed back on the practice squad. If you're getting cut to 75, you're probably not even, you know, going to be a practice squad guy, you know, because even if, you know, unless all the guys the Raiders cut at the 53-man get picked up and don't make it to the practice squad, there's probably a number of guys that they see ahead of Orr, which really says something about the quality of depth on this team.
Right, and it's something that we've talked about before, saying that the Raiders were going to cut some real talent, and again, I do think that Leon Orr has some talent. And I mean, I mentioned the practice squad. I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up back on it just for depth purposes and just in case some major injuries happen throughout the season. But you're right, I mean, for him not to make it to the 53 does make it look like they're not really worried about him. And again, I don't think that they are, but when push comes to shove and when it all said and done, and when they're sitting there after the 53-man roster is announced and they're looking at the guys who are available, waiver wire or whatever, they might see him still dangling out there and say, you know what, we could put him back on the practice squad and just let him get some reps there. So, yeah, I mean, your point is valid because they have a lot of talent on the squad, and they are going to cut some guys with some real talent. There's a lot of guys that we saw active on a Saturday night that could play ball that aren't going to have a job come next Saturday, or I think it's Saturday when the cuts go down to 53. So that's a good sign when your team has that much talent on the team.
Yeah, man, definitely. You know, and Leon Orr is a guy who I'd be surprised if he was around when the Raiders tried to look at their practice squad, because he is talented enough that I would be shocked if another team didn't pick him up before then. We'll see, obviously, because there's going to be a lot of players cut over this week and next week, and a lot of players moving from one team to another as it all shuffles out. But yeah, another sign. We've been talking about this for a while, that this is a team that's going to have to make some tough cuts, and those cuts are coming even earlier than we expected at a 75-man, you know? So good sign for the depth on the roster, good sign for the team in general.
Exactly. And besides that, I mean, really, Nobody else on that cut list was anybody that was a surprise to me. It's just guys that just weren't going to cut it. They're guys out there filling out spots when they had to have 90. Now they need to have 75, so they knew that their job was pretty much done. So shout out to Colton Underwood who got him a date out of becoming a Raider, but he ain't got a job no more. So, you know, maybe he loses that date that he got with the Olympic girl because he ain't employed anymore. But besides that, you know, it is what it is. These guys are gone, and the lineup is getting a little bit more clear, and after Saturday, we'll really know who's supposed to be there and who's not supposed to be there and what guys are going into battle come September 11th against the Saints.
Yeah, man, I love the little Colton Underwood comment because I was joking with some friends that the whole reason he did the asking Allie Raceman out on a date is because he knew he was going to have some extra time on his hands pretty soon because he was never going to make the roster. So
yeah, no, exactly. That's the real deal. Definitely wasn't going to make the squad, but kind of made a cool story out of it. If anything else, at least he could say, hey, I got a date out of being a Raider. So, you know, again, shout out to Colton Underwood because he made the best of a situation that he knew wasn't going to end the way he really wanted it to. But again, you know, he got a date, so you never know where that might happen.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right, so enough with the cuts. Not a whole lot of news there really worth spending time on. So let's get to the game, man. It was the third preseason game of the year, the all-important third. Saw the starters stay for the entire first half against the Tennessee Titans. Raiders didn't come out with a win, but I'll tell you what, they looked a whole lot better than that game against the Packers.
Yeah, no, they looked a whole lot better than they did against the Packers. There was still a lot of areas of concern for me, and, you know, when you break it down and you really look at it, it was something that we really harped on after game two against the Packers, and it was stop the run. And, I mean, the Titans came out right away, and they were able to run the rock, and they ran the rock with consistency, and they ran downhill. They ran with anger behind it. I mean, they got behind their pads, and they were able to run. DeMarco Murray did a hell of a job, and later when Derrick Henry came in, he did a hell of a job. So that's a concern right there for me, is the fact that the run seems like it's coming too easy for these other teams. I don't know exactly how they correct it right away. All I really can go back to is what you said early in the preseason, I think after week one, where you just felt like it was going to be a while before this defense was able to gel. So, you know, I'm starting to lean to the side, like, I think you're right about that. It's going to take a few weeks, and it's going to take more than just one half of football or two quarter, you know, a quarter and a half or three quarters. It's going to take a full game back to back to back to back. So I'm not sure how long it's going to take for this defense to gel, but giving up the run and giving up the run yardage that they're giving up, that is going to become a problem.
Yeah, man, and that's why this game really did make me feel better, because as I've said for a while now, this is a defense I think might take a while to gel. I think it's going to take a while for all the different parts to be, gel together, because there's a whole lot of new starters. And the other thing is, last year the defense was really a work in progress in terms of not only the play on the field, but also the scheme. You know, Ken Norton Jr. throughout the year was making tweaks and changes and changes and tweaks, and it came in this year. It's not like these guys were in one system throughout the whole year and they get to come in next year, the following year, and you know, have a full year of experience, because things were just so up in the air last year. There was no system for people to be, you know, relying on this season. So it's almost like there's a whole new scheme again. We're seeing a lot more of the 3-4-5-2 fronts, and that's really struggle against the run. And so, like I said for a while, this defense is something that's going to be a work in progress. The problem for me all preseason is the offense wasn't supposed to be a work in progress. All right, we already saw last season that this offense can be high-flying and score a lot of points. We wanted to see the run game improve, but, you know, I came in with all kinds of confidence about the passing game, and that confidence was shaken a little bit through the first two games, but restored once again in this game, because Derek Carr, Michael Crabtree, Amari Cooper, that passing game looks sweet.
Yeah, no, they look like the real deal still. I mean, I got 100% confidence about those guys and what they could do. Derek Carr looked like Derek Carr from last year, where he looked solid, still missed on a couple of passes, should have connected on the touchdown pass to Clive Walford. He just overthrew him and then wasn't able to make it happen later on. So, I mean, that was a touchdown drive that they should have had that they didn't have. But besides that, a sweet pass to Amari Cooper in the end zone for a touchdown. Sweet drop in the bucket to Michael Crabtree for about 40-something yards on a completion down the field on that same drive. I mean, he did look solid, you know, so I felt confident about that, feel confident in the wide receiver core between Crabtree and Cooper, and I think Cooper's really going to make a conservative effort to catch the ball first and then go, something that he didn't do his rookie year. He was worried about where he was going to run to before he actually caught the ball, so I think this year you're going to really see concentration from Coop, and you'll see him catch more passes, and there won't be 18 drops like he had his rookie year, and that might mean that he cuts down on a few on a few catches or a few passes come his way, you know. But I just think that he's really going to concentrate on being a complete wide receiver this year instead of just, you know, a big play guy. So they look good, man. The wide receiving, they look fine. Carr looked fine. Del Rio pulled out Carr in the third quarter in the middle of a drive, and I got the idea. I got the concept on why he did it. I didn't like it because I felt like it was a drive that Carr could have completed and got in the end zone, but I totally get what he's doing, and the preseason, that's what it's meant for. So, I mean, that was the right call by him.
Yeah, I actually liked that decision. You know, you've heard on this show me critique some of the opportunities by this coaching staff that have been passed up on in the preseason, things like going for it on fourth down, things like onside kicks, you know, things that you can try and practice in the preseason where there are no consequences if you screw up. Right. You know, we didn't see that a whole lot through the first couple of games. We started to see it with things like that, which was really nice. So that was good. I liked the fact that they kind of, you know, threw McGloin in there all of a sudden, you know, without a whole lot of anticipation or knowledge that that's what was going to happen, and saw what McGloin could do. It's good because that's what's going to happen. You know, backup quarterbacks, only times they come in under calm circumstances is in a blowout. And, you know, that's not something you're really concerned about their play. You're concerned about their play when they got to come in at the, you know, drop of a dime because someone got hurt. So I like that idea. I haven't seen a coach do that before, and I liked it.
No, I did. I did too. I understood the concept, and it was a great idea. I was just upset because the fact that Carr didn't get that touchdown drive right before halftime. So I said, well, here's a chance for him to go ahead and get it. And it looked like he was starting to move and starting to make a, you know, a little drive going. And so I didn't want to see him leave the game like that. So selfishly, I didn't like it because I wanted to see Carr in action. But, you know, by way of tactic and smart thinking, it was a brilliant idea.
Yeah, selfish reasons, I wanted to see Carr play as long as I could because I was actually at the game and I wanted to see his starter stay in and go.
Yeah.
And by the way, can I just say real quickly,
yes,
being at that game, man, that is, I've never been to a preseason game like that. I've been to a lot of preseason games before. Never have I been to a preseason game like this. The crowd was packed in there. It wasn't quite sellout status, but it was damn crowded. You know, I'm used to preseason. You know, I got the cheaper tickets a little bit higher up. I'm used to preseason being able to sneak down and get me some good seats, right? That yeah. wasn't happening this time. These Raiders fans are ready for the year, man.
Which is awesome.
Crazy in there. Oh, my God.
Right, and that's an awesome fact, and that just shows how great the fans in Oakland, California are, which is also just another slap in the face by Mark Davis, be ready to take the damn Raiders to Vegas. But that's another podcast for another time, so I ain't even going to get fired up on that yet.
I'd say, man, we got plenty of stuff about real football to talk about. We're not going to go down the rabbit hole of the stadium quite yet, but it'll come one day, I'm sure.
Oh, no, it's gonna come because I'm gonna forever be angry. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, you're an Oakland native. You live and reside there as of right now. I mean, you do that daily. You know, I was there at a time. I spent plenty of time there, and I just know what it's like. I just know the mystique of Oakland, and I know we're cut different, and I know that the Raiders are cut different, and where they're cut from is the cloth on 66th Ave right there. That's where they need to be. But again, like you said, we'll have plenty of time to go into that on another podcast.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So getting back to some football, one last thing I want to point out in the offense, and that's that the run game seemed to get noticeably better once Latavius Murray was out of the game. DeAndre Washington and Jalen Richard really looked good, and you know, the run blocking may have been a little bit better in that game than the previous two games, but that's not the big difference. The big difference were the backs who knew how to read those blocks and get yards out of them.
You know, DeAndre Washington, that's my dude, so every time he does something positive, I'm thinking, that's right. That's what I'm talking about. That's the dude. But, I mean, just as good as he looked, Jalen Richard looked just as good, like you mentioned, man. I mean, both those dudes looked solid. So what I took away from that game was the fact that Murray and Washington and Richard were going to be the running backs for the Raiders this year. I mean, that's just who they're going to be. I don't think that Tywan Jones makes the team, and that's just because those guys are better and younger, and I think that the Raiders are ready to move on from Tywan Jones, and personally, I'm ready to move on from him, and I think those guys will fill the role, and if Murray don't watch out, they might go ahead and take his role as well. Right now, I'm going to go ahead and continue to give him the starting job because I feel like the Jack Del Rio and company wanted to see more of Washington and Richard, and that's why they didn't have Murray out there very often, because we kind of know what we're going to get from him. We already know the kind of running back he is, and if he doesn't continue to grow and if he doesn't get better with this more improved offensive line, then it could be very soon that you could see Washington in there starting, or you could see Richard in there starting, or you could see a combination of both, and you may see Murray on the outside looking in. But for right now, I look at the depth chart for the running back position, and if I'm the guy, I'm saying Murray, Washington, Richard, and you can you can interchange Washington and Rashard, whatever. I think they're both pretty solid, and they're pretty much the same kind of back, but they're very good.
Yeah, man, and for any of those sitting out there wondering, every time Washington makes a good run or a nice play in the passing game, I got Q in my ear. I hear it in my ear saying, yeah, that's right, that's my boy. I told you, James. Told you.
Exactly. So that dude is
right,
solid.
You were right.
Yeah, I'm telling you, the dude, as soon as he gets the ball in his hands, man, you better not blink, because if you do, he may be gone. But I like what he brings to the game.
And here's the thing, you know, if I had the call, I'd be having a starter right now, because Latavius Murray just has not done the things that I needed to see him do in order to convince me he was capable of being a consistent every down back, okay? The Raiders, if they want to have a run first game, need a consistent back, not a guy who's going to bust a big run followed by five runs in a row of a yard. Latavius Murray's vision has not been good this preseason at all. He's missed holes. He's running into backs. He's just not getting it done. I know Washington's a rookie. We haven't seen a whole lot, but what we have seen, I have far more confidence in. I don't know that he's necessarily going to be a great player, but I think he's going to be better than Latavius Murray is right now. So I would personally put him ahead of it first. But you know, it was interesting, man. Vic Tafer from San Francisco Chronicle tweeted the other day that he actually believes the depth chart is going to go Latavius Murray at one, Jamiz Olawale at two, with Washington at third and Rashard at fourth. That surprised me. I do think Olawale is going to get his share of touches this year, but man, I really thought that Washington would be the clear number two back on this team.
No, yeah, I get that, and I kind of, I mean, I look at Olawale and I say that he's, you know, he's a fullback, so you know, I kind of don't put him in the same category. I put him and Marcel Reese in the same category, and I do think that Olawale is going to get more action than Reese. I'd actually be surprised if he makes the squad. You know, we talked about that when he got suspended. He still has to serve what, three more games, three game suspension. So I don't know if the Raiders moving forward want to deal with a three game suspension. And I know he's a crowd favorite. I know he's a team favorite. I know him and Mark Davis are tight. They probably go to Hooters together and have drinks. I get it, but I just don't know moving forward if he's the guy that you're really looking for on the team. So I could see why he would say, you know, Murray first and Olawale second and then Washington and then Rashard. I mean, that all makes sense, because just because of the fact that he's a fullback, and the Raiders are one of the few teams that actually even have a fullback on the team.
True. Though they have been using Olawale as a halfback a decent amount this preseason.
Yeah.
He's been in there as a solo back running the ball. So, you know, we'll see. I mean, in terms of numbers of touches, I'd love to see, yeah, as much as I love Olawale, don't get me wrong, I'm a huge fan of him. I've been saying for a few years now he's better than Reese. There's no reason for Reese to be on this team anymore, because Olawale does everything that Reese does and does it better. But, you know, I just think that the Raiders actually have themselves something in Washington. They want to have a run-first offense, an offense where the run game is something to make others afraid, and I don't think Olawale is going to do that, and I don't think Latavius Murray is going to do that, but I think DeAndre Washington could do that.
Yeah, and one thing, when you talk about DeAndre Washington, somebody cut Matt McGloin for setting him up for failure. All right, let me just go ahead and get there right now. Matt McGloin, someone should have came out the stands, and James, I put this on you since you were there. You should have came out the stands, took the helmet off of McGloin, and slapped the mess out of him for even setting DeAndre Washington up to get killed like that. There was absolutely no reason for him to throw that ball to DeAndre thinking that he was going to make something happen. The only thing that happened is he got blown up, and lucky he got up, because that's one of those hits that he could have been out, could have got a concussion, could have been, you know, could have really affected how they look at him moving down the line. That was a terrible pass. That was a terrible decision. I know Matt McGloin's always the preseason hero for the Raiders, but he was the preseason zero in game number three, because that was just a stupid, stupid pass. And that little stupid shrug that he gives all the time when he thinks he makes a great play, I could just imagine him giving that shrug when he threw it to DeAndre Washington. If I had been on the sideline, I would have, like I said, I'd have slapped the taste out of his mouth.
Yeah, that was a terrible pass, terrible idea. You know, and not only from the standpoint of the fact that you hung out one of your co-players to dry, but from purely the team standpoint, because it wasn't smart. You saw what happened. He got lit up and he lost the ball and we turned the ball over. So it was a terrible idea on a number of different fronts. But I'll tell you what, I was a little bit happy to see it, and I'm going to tell you why. And that's because...
Are you insane?
No, hear me out.
Tell me why. Yeah. I hate to cut you off and everything, but why did your insane self say that you were happy to see it?
Because though DeAndre Washington has convinced me that he knows how to run with the big boys, That hit convinced me he knows how to take knocks with the big boys. Okay, he's a little dude. I was still a little worried. You know, what's going to happen when he gets out there against real competition? People start lighting him up because he's going to get light up every now and then, even without bad plays by the quarterback. All right? This is the NFL. It happens. Yeah. And he took that shot. He got right back up, and he was a little rattled. Don't get me wrong. Anyone would be off of that hit, but he wasn't leaving the game. He wasn't looking real shook. He wasn't looking like he needed a lot of time to get off the field. He took that hit well.
I'll tell you right now, I was a little shook when I saw that hit. I mean, damn, I think that hit sent me all the way to the kitchen. I had to grab some liquor and a beer because that was so aggressive, man. That was a hell of a hit. Ended up giving up a touchdown. That was just something that just can't happen. But to your credit, that's a good point. He was able to take the pounding without, you know, too much hesitation, able to jump back up and get back in the game. And he's done that a couple times this preseason. The dude's a tough kid, man. I really like him. Again, I think he's going to be a fan favorite that Raider Nation is going to get real, you know, used to seeing and really love him. End up being one of those Marcel Reese type guys where people love him. You know, get the ball to Washington because he's so dynamic when he has the ball in his hand. You just don't know at any given chance. He could take it the distance. He could hit a home run any single time he gets the ball in his hands. And, I mean, if that's not the epitome of a Raider, I don't know what is.
Well, he's also just so much more versatile than Latavius Murray. You know, I tweeted out during the game after he caught the touchdown pass, you know, he runs routes that we've never seen Murray even try to run because there's no way the coaching staff would ever try to pass the ball to Murray over the middle. I mean, this dude can barely catch it out in the flat without much pressure. You're not throwing the ball to him over the middle. That's asking for a turnover. And yet, that's exactly what happened with Washington when he scored that touchdown. So he's already expanding their playbook because he's more versatile. So again, I'm really, really hoping that he gets a significant number of touches. I know this is a coaching staff that doesn't like throwing rookies into the fire right away. We saw last year guys like Mario Edwards didn't get in until a quarter of the season was over. You know, Nyron Ball didn't get in until you know, we let every tight end in the league run up and down the field. And finally, they're like, okay, well, maybe we'll try playing the rookie. He didn't get until late in the year. So, you know, I'm hoping that they stray away from that and they just go right to Washington early on. The kid earned those touches early on, and they should give him the touches early on.
And the one thing I will point out and the one thing I will say, and I know Raider Nation and the fans are all used to seeing this, everyone's used to seeing that Marcel Reese, that wheel route, right? Everyone's used to seeing that. Well, Washington runs that wheel route to a T. I mean, I'm talking about a dude. You want to talk about a guy who could run a route and be solid? He runs that wheel route so nice. I mean, and you get him lined up against a linebacker, guess who's winning? Who's winning 10 out of 10 times? It's going to be DeAndre Washington because he has wheels. Mm-hmm. So just like Marcel Reese is a matchup nightmare when he rolls out of the backfield like that and looks for the pass, DeAndre Washington knows how to run routes. I saw him at a game with Texas Tech score 4 touchdowns, and they were all receiving. I mean, the dude knows what he's doing. I mean, he's solid. So, yeah, get used to that. Get used to the fact that he could be very, very versatile, like you mentioned. You can roll him out of the backfield. You can toss the ball to him. You can hit him on a sweep. You can do what you got to do, but he's going to get moving. He's going to get moving in a hurry, and that's something I like about him. That's why I kind of compared him to Charlie Garner, because if you remember back in the day when the Raiders were real solid, when Rich Gannon was taking them to the Super Bowl, Charlie Garner would run 20 yards down the field and then catch the pass and then take it to the house. He had those soft hands too. That's DeAndre Washington. He's got him as well.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So there are definitely some things on offense to be excited about. Pass protection has been great this preseason. The passing game itself finally took off in game 3. The run game started to look better in game 3. The run blocking started to look better in game 3. Offense, all in all, I'm feeling pretty solid about going into the year. I'm pretty excited to see what they're going to do. Defense, a whole nother situation. I'm not freaking out. I'm not panic mode, but that's mostly because of the fact that this is pretty much what I've been saying we would see, and that's a defense that struggles a little bit early on. And so as long as we don't see these kind of struggles past week 2 or 3, then I'm gonna be okay. But if we see these struggles past week 3, past week 4, there's some issues.
No, there really is some issues, and some things that I want to point out that bother me, and I mentioned it last week, you know, or actually I mentioned it after the first preseason game when Sean Smith dropped that touchdown pass. Sean Smith completely whiffed on an interception again. I mean, it's right there in
him.
It's right in his belly. It's right there, and he didn't even get his hands on it, but it should have been right there. You know what I mean? It was right in his face. It was right. I don't understand how he missed it. And what's worse about that, and this is on Nate Allen, but when he when he whiffs at that ball, Nate Allen anticipates him intercepting it, so he jumps up in the air and starts celebrating. Well, as he's celebrating, the wide receiver's running past him because, well, Sean Smith missed. He has to complete the play. It's one thing to be there. It's one thing to be running with the wide receiver and see the play and diagnose it, break it down like, okay, I know where this is coming, but you have to finish. You have to finish the play, and that's two interceptions he should have had at least already in this preseason, and that is starting to bother me. I know it's early, and again, like you mentioned, it's only the preseason, so no need to panic. But those should be routine plays. Those really, really should be. He was the high-priced free agent. There's all kind of articles out on him that are really good saying he got there by way of being a wide receiver. Well, a wide receiver doesn't miss those. He has got to make that kind of play. He's got to get the ball, and he's got to take it to the house and start the return. I mean, you have to create turnovers. You just do. And that's something that really, really bothers me. And then, on top of that, when you're still talking about Sean Smith, old man Andre Johnson was getting the best of him. And I know Andre Johnson is a seasoned veteran when it comes to the wide receiver. And some guys are just better technicians than others. But you can't be getting beat and get beat as bad as Sean Smith was getting beat by Andre Johnson, who is about as old as it gets. You know what I mean? He's on his third team in like 3 years. He's just not the guy he used to be. It's not Houston Texan Andre Johnson. It's not even Indianapolis Colt Andre Johnson. It's like beyond that. And he's getting the best of our best defensive back. That was troublesome.
Oh, yeah, man. Sean Smith had a bad day for sure. He got picked on a little bit for a little while. And well, a couple of those drives, it was clear Mariota was coming after him because he was the weak link. David Emerson was going off. David Emerson had himself a day. So what did Mariota do? He said, all right, I'm going to throw it to Sean Smith. And the closest thing Sean Smith did to making a play was that missed interception. Mm-hmm. He really had a struggle of a day. But, man, the thing that really drove me nuts on that play, and you mentioned it, was Nate Allen. Because right. Even if he did make an interception, you don't celebrate. The play isn't over yet. You get right. Downfield and you block. You know, that mm-hmm. was just a completely inappropriate reaction, regardless of whether or not he made the interception. The play isn't over. Don't celebrate till the whistle's done.
Right. No, you're right. Because, I mean, again, he should have been running down the field to go block and try to get him to take it back to the house. I mean, that's what every defender's dream is, you know, get the turnover and take it to the house. We all know that. So, yeah, Nate Allen, there's a reason why they brought in other safeties to take his spot and to use him as a depth guy. There's a reason why he was almost cut, or actually was cut, and then had to re-sign during the offseason, because he's just not that dude. He's not the caliber guy. I mean, you would never see a Charles Woodson out there doing that. And I know we can't always refer back to Charles when we talk about the safety position, but he was a pro's pro. You know, he played it all the way through. You can't do that. You can't have those kind of knuckleheads that are going to start celebrating when the play, like you mentioned, isn't even over. So that was real upsetting, because that turned a play that should have gone for maybe, what, 10, 12 yards at the most, damn near into a touchdown. You know, it was really, really a bad look. And that was something that all I could do is put my hand put my head in my hand and say, really? This is how we're going to do? This is how this game's going to go? It's going to be like this? Okay. And so, like you mentioned, man, Sean Smith, he definitely got picked on it. And for a second-year quarterback to go after you and pick on you, the high-priced free agent guy, that was something that kind of stood out a lot to me.
Especially because, like you said, it was Andre Johnson doing it. So it was not a good look for Sean Smith. That being said, I felt like he was one of the stronger players for the Raiders in the first two preseason games. I'm not going to really be too bothered over the performance on Saturday. Though your point about the fact that he's dropping interceptions, that is bothersome. Because it's not like, you know, we talk all the time, how do you take away from the preseason game? They don't count, they do matter, blah, 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 right? Yep. Scheme and play calling and personnel use are things that will alter the way the preseason goes. Whether or not you catch a ball that hit you in the hands has nothing to do with that stuff, okay? Right. Whether or not you can shed a block when a blocker is on you has nothing to do with that stuff. Those are two areas that concern me. Sean Smith dropping interceptions, because that is the difference between a win and a loss sometimes. You know, you making that pick and you dropping that pick. And then the block shedding, which we talked about last week and we're going to talk about again this week, the block shedding, especially by the linebackers, the middle linebackers, has been terrible. It has been non-existent. And that's a big part of the why the run game has been going off. So I'm not going to be freaking out about things like the pass rush, because I think the pass rush is going to be a whole lot more complicated and intricate once the year starts than it was during the preseason. So I think that's going to improve. I think the run defense will improve a little bit because the personnel choices will change during the regular season. But the lack of shedding blocks concerns me a lot. The getting beat one-on-one on the outside occasionally by Sean Smith and DJ Hayden getting beat a couple times, on in the slot. That concerns me a lot. So there are definitely some things that you can take away from this preseason that'll give you pause and reason to worry about this defense.
Yeah, no, you're right. And the thing about it is, man, you can sign all the guys you want. You can sign big names. You can, you know, say, oh, this is a perfect fit for this defense. Oh, man, we got some real talent. And you could be absolutely right. But if you don't put it together, man, you ain't got nothing. And so right now, like you mentioned, and now I'm buying in on that it's going to take them a while. I thought that they were going to be able to go in there and, you know, it's Ken Norton's defense. It's the Seattle defense. Kind of already know what to expect. Defensive backs are going to be defensive backs. They're pretty much locked in on one-on-one, just locked down. You know, I thought it was going to be a little easier. Now I see that it's going to be a lot more complicated. And really, something that I thought was going to be a strength of the team, which is stopping the run, seems like it's going to become a problem. And that is a major, major issue, because if you can't stop the run, man, you ain't going to be able to win too many games. I mean, it's just bottom line. And, you know, Dan Williams coming in out of shape, that was not a good look. It was a bad look. He ended up, you know, being on the second team. Then he ended up starting this game, starts in the third game, and he really doesn't do anything. Kind of shows why he wasn't a starter to begin with. So I don't know. I know he's only on a 2-year deal, but I would think that he would have came in this year as almost a leader of the defense and kind of been that guy, because he was pretty solid last season. So that kind of bothers me that he came in out of shape and he's not doing better than he is. Malcolm Smith is a guy that he's up and down. One week you love him, one week you hate him. This week I like him. I like him a lot this week. I think he did some good things against the Titans, but you know, he's just so inconsistent that you just don't know what to expect from him. You know, he's going to go out there, he's going to give you a lot of effort, but, you know, you pointed out last week the fact that he went all the way around and totally took himself out of a play. This week, you know, he was pretty good. Like I said, he was in there, he was involved. I think he led the team in tackles. He did a good job, but what's he going to do next week? I mean, you just don't know. He's so inconsistent, it's a big question mark next to him. So, you know, you kind of have to hold your breath, but being able to not shed those blocks is a major, major problem. If they can't do that, teams are going to run the rock. Simple as that. First game of the season, the Saints come to the Raiders go to New Orleans, play the Saints. Mark Ingram, who's just hasn't been a world beater when he goes into since we've been in the NFL, he going to have a hell of a day if they can't stop the run, because they're going to notice that early that, oh, they can't stop the run? Cool, we're going to keep feeding this guy. You know, we're going to keep feeding C.J. Spiller. We're going to get these guys going. It could be a problem week one if they can't stop the run.
Oh, man, it'll be a problem week one through 16 if they can't stop the run. This is a league that is clearly, evolving towards being more and more passing. But any coach worth their weight in anything in this league, if you're given the opportunity to run the ball and do it successfully and not risk throwing the ball, you're going to do it. Mm-hmm. I don't care if you got Tom Brady behind center. If you know you can run the rock down the other team's throat, you're going to do that every single down until they stop you. And so if the Raiders can't stop it, you're going to see passing teams running like mad on them, because that's what you do. That's the safer bet. If they're not going to stop your run game, there's no reason to go to the pass.
Right, exactly. The thing about it, like I mentioned, the Saints, man, the Saints defense is terrible. So what's the best friend to a defense? A really good run game. If you can run the ball, you keep your defense off the field. So, you know, that's something that they're going to try to do. They're going to go in early and try to run the rock and try to keep that defense on the sideline. Again, I've mentioned before, you know who their defensive coordinator is. All Raider Nation is very familiar with this clown, Dennis Allen. So he's that guy. So we already know that his defense is going to be probably pretty suspect. So what are they going to try to do? They're going to try to control the clock. They're going to try to run the rock. If the Raiders cannot stop that run, we're looking at a week one loss, man. I mean, straight up just like that. And I know everyone's going to say, hey, Q, you're overreacting because it's only preseason. No, I'm not, because stopping the run is just basic tackling. There's nothing that is so, you know, complex about that. It's just basic tackling. Get the guy down in front of you. Shed a block and tackle the runner. That's all it really is. There's nothing complex about it. It's not like defending a wide receiver and you're running these complex schemes. There's nothing to scheme about stopping the running back. All you got to do is read the play, shed the block, make a tackle. And unfortunately, up until right now, the run game has not been very good when it comes to defending the run game as far as the Raiders go.
Yeah, they got to figure something out. I am really hopeful that it will see difference in the run game with the personnel being used once the regular season starts, and also just the formations being used. I don't know if it's going to be a huge difference, because like you said, shedding blocks has nothing to do with the formation, the players in the game, or the scheme. So until these linebackers do a little better shedding the blocks, until these you know, hogs up front like Justin Ellis and Dan Williams do a better job of eating blockers, it's going to struggle in the run game. And I really, really hope it's not going to struggle that much, because like you said, if teams see that as a weakness, they're going to attack it, and it won't matter that we upgraded the secondary so badly. It won't matter that got guys like Sean Smith, Reggie Nelson, and Carl Joseph, because if they're running the rock up the gut, you know, it doesn't matter. They're not going to test it as the secondary. So it's a big, big issue. I am hopeful that it can look better. I don't know how much better, but I'm hopeful that it can look better just based on the personnel. And obviously, once Mario Edwards Jr. gets back in a week, you know, hopefully 2 or 3.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to have to be better. It really is. I mean, they're going to have to go out of this preseason and say, okay, you know, forget everything we just did. Now let's really go to work. And they're going to have to really do something. And I know that it's not really a switch that you can flip, per se, in the NFL, but they're going to have to pretty much flip a switch and be like, all right, now it's time to really get to work. I mean, there was a time, and I don't know exactly what year it was, so forgive me for not remembering, but there was a time when the Raiders led the league in pass completion percentage. Like their pass defense was awesome. They had the number one pass defense in the league, but their run defense was dead last. And that's exactly why. Everybody was just killing them on the ground. And you know, it made it look like the DBs were just the best thing in the league, but it wasn't. It was just the fact that they weren't being tested because they didn't have to be tested. If you could run the rock for 200 yards a game, 250 yards a game, why would you even worry about putting the ball in the air? You're not going to. So it's something that they really got to fix. I don't think it's that you know, bad. I don't think it's going to be as tragic as it was that year when it came to the run defense. But it's something that they really need to improve, and they need to figure out how to do it real quickly. I mean, the boys that the Raiders just played, the Titans, they're coming back to town. I mean, they're playing again in week 3, you know, so they're going to have to go up against those Hogs for a whole game. They're going to have to go up against DeMarco Murray and Derrick Henry. And like I cautioned in the last podcast, those dudes can run the ball. We saw that the other night. They can run the ball, and they're going to commit to running that rock, and they're going to do it until you can prove that you can stop them.
Luckily for us, the Raiders will be playing real football in a couple of weeks. As we know, the fourth preseason game is really not a whole lot to look forward to. Most of the starters will likely not see the field. It's primarily those guys trying to make the 53-man cut, trying to prove they might earn some defensive, or I mean, some backup snaps or some special team snaps. Not a big deal, but between now and the time we're going to hear from us again on the Black Hole Banner podcast, there will be a big deal, which is the 53-man cuts. So before we get going, Q, I want to ask you, man, who do you think are some of the surprise cuts, some cuts that people may not be expecting they're going to have to say goodbye to once the 53-man goes down?
Well, you know, that's a really good question, and that's going to be a tough answer, man. I look at guys like Marcel Reese, and I think that he has a real chance to be gone. I think Tywan Jones is already gone. I think that's a pretty much a wrap. I think DeAndre Washington and Rashard made that clear on Saturday when they did what they did. There's some other guys, man. The wide receiver core, I mean, we know who's going to be there. We know the guys that are locked in. I'm trying to remember the dude's name, number 16. I'm not sure if he makes it or not. I know that's Amari's boy. I'm not sure if he makes it. He looked like he shined a little bit, but, you know, it's just a little. And Seth Roberts.
Holton?
Yeah, there you go, Holton. And I still think Seth Roberts is kind of locked in at the number 3 spot, even though he's a little shaky at times. I think he's still, you know, he's earned the right to be there. So I don't know, man. It's gonna be tough. Like I said, the Raiders have a lot of talent. You know, they really do. And again, it's a great problem to have. But then when you look at it, and you're like, man, got to get rid of a lot of spots right now. It's like you got to figure out what in the hell you're gonna do. And man, they're down to 75 right now. They got to get down all the way to 53. That's a lot of guys. You know, who are you gonna cut? That's a great question, man. I just look at the obvious and think, I think the biggest surprise to Raider fans would be Marcel Reese, but it wouldn't be a surprise to me because I think that he's very expendable at this point.
Yeah, I think the biggest surprise, you know, Marcel Reese are going to be able to hold off on the decision for a while because he won't count against the 53 man while he's suspended. So that cut or not cut won't come until about the third, you know, fourth week. After he plays out his suspension, they won't have to worry about whether or not they want to make room for him. But I agree with you on Tywan Jones, and I think that's the one that's going to catch a lot of people off guard. He's been such a mainstay, one of only three players. Was it Reese, Tywon Jones? No, four players. Reese, Tywon Jones, John Kondo, and Sebastian Janikowski, the only players who were there before Reggie McKenzie came and took over the Raiders. So he's been a mainstay for a long time, mostly due to special teams play. But as we've talked about this offseason, special teams play on the Raiders has been dramatically improved. Mm. When you guys got guys like Nate Allen and Andre Holmes just dominating on coverage, guys like Tywon Jones, you know, you start losing value when other guys are doing the same thing you're doing, and they're also playing key backup roles. So, you know, he's a guy that I think his time may be gone. The only saving grace is, you know, I think maybe they may end up keeping five running backs because of the fact that this preseason I saw them use the fullback a little bit more than they did last year. So they may want to keep an extra room for that, but you know, he's a guy, his value is diminishing with every, you know, improvement on this roster. Guys like him, their value diminished because this isn't a team that can afford guys who all they do is play special teams. You got to have more value to the team. So he's a guy that, he does get cut, I think that's going to surprise a lot of players, a lot of people. A lot of people are used to him being around. Some other names we might see go: Stacy McGee and Matt McCants are two names that have been around the Raiders for a few years now as key backup players who are getting squeezed out because the quality is improving. You know, you got new guys coming in every year who are slight upgrades, and this may not seem like a big deal, right? Losing a guy like a swing tackle, Matt McCants, or a guy, you know, excuse me, like Stacy McGee, who doesn't see the field that much, but it's not that small of a deal because as soon as injuries occur, these guys are the next ones in line to step up. And if you're improving that depth, it matters as the season wears on. Okay. So, and it also matters in the practice field because every week you're going against better talent when you're practicing. So overall, I think these are significant things. When you see guys like Matt McCants, who has been there for a while, and Stacy McGee, two guys who are stalwarts of depth on this team, they're likely to, you know, have potentially not make the team this year, again, signs that this roster is dramatically improving.
It's going to be really, really interesting. I mean, because you could look up and down the lineup and you could see a guy that you'd be like, yeah, I can see him going. But then again, you're like, well, you know, he could add depth to the team. I mean, that's what the thing is, man. It's just so hard to figure out who, you know, is expendable. You know, I look at a guy like Austin Howard and be like, you know, he's a penalty waiting to happen. But then again, you know, if you have an injury along the line, you kind of feel like, well, maybe I could use him later. You know what I mean? I don't think he's going to start. I know he's not going to start. But, you know, give some injury, he might be a guy that you look to. So I look at him as a possible cut. As a matter of fact, I'm more likely I think he's gone. But that's just me. You know, Menelik Watson, can he stay injured? Can he stay healthy? He's always injured. You know what I mean? So I just don't know, man. It's like a crapshoot, really. Like, who do you get rid of? Who don't you get rid of? There's just a lot of talent on this team. Again, it's a tough problem, but it's a good problem because in past years it was easy to say, oh, well, these guys are gone and these guys are going to stay. And matter of fact, this guy's only on the team because, well, they have nobody else. You know what I mean? Like that, mm-hmm. That was the issue. They had guys that shouldn't be starting, like Andre Holmes, the guy I pick on all the time. He was starting when he shouldn't have been starting. He's not a starter. But because the Raiders had to have somebody out there, he was a starter. Now he's in his proper place. And again, I still wouldn't be that mad if he was gone, but I totally understand why he's not. I don't know, man. Something between me and him, we just don't get along, and his family hit me up on Twitter again and started dogging me for saying that, but whatever. I'll get over it, and they'll get over it, too. I don't know why they always
I think he'll survive.
I mean, I don't know. I'm serious. I don't know why they always come at me. Like, they're going to start talking trash to me, and also I'm going to change my mind or something, like, just because they have a couple little facts that they want to throw at me, and I'm just like, okay, that's fine. I get it. I understand. We'll never see eye to eye on this subject. I get it. That is your family member. You're supposed to defend him. I'm just saying what every Raider fan is thinking, that dude is the most – he makes you the most angry. I mean, he really does. So, I mean, it is what it is. So when I get that tweet this week, and I will get it for saying what I'm saying right now, it's fine. I respect that. Hey, I appreciate y'all, but it's just – it is what it is. You know, he's the most frustrating Raider on the roster. I'm telling you right now, and I know this is probably crazy, but I wouldn't even mind seeing Matt McGloin get cut. I'm serious. I'm really serious. That little move that he did and set up DeAndre Washington, I really wanted to cut him instantly after that. I'm glad that I'm not on the coaching staff because my emotions would have cut him right away. I'd have been like, man, don't even get your check. Don't even go wash your ass. Don't do anything. You just exit stage left. Take here. Here's some scrub clothes you can put on. Get here. Leave the uniform here and you're out. Just go. We'll send your check to you at the house. That would have pissed me off. But again, I'm not on the coaching staff, so I don't, you know, my overreaction is okay because it doesn't affect anybody on the team. But that's just me. You know, that's just how I roll.
You know, man, if they're going to get rid of McGloin, which is an interesting topic, I would much rather see them try to trade him. I was not on the bandwagon getting rid of him. I'd rather have him sit for the season as a backup while Connor Cook, you know, got his feet wet without too much serious responsibilities on his plate. But, you know, you see a guy like Tony Romo go down for 6 to 8 weeks, you know, more injuries are bound to happen. If suddenly Matt McGloin has value on the trade market and you get like a 5th, 6th, maybe even a 7th, I'm not sure if they're willing to part with him for a 7th, but you get value out of him, a future pick out of him, I say go for it, man.
Oh, yeah, no, I mean, if someone wanted to trade for him, I'd trade for him in a heartbeat. It'd be a no-brainer. But I'm just saying, when you look at it and you start looking at the roster and you're looking at tough cuts, and you're saying, well, you know, you're trying to roll the dice. You know, it's like, do you want to gamble or do you not want to gamble? Do you really, you know, want to have extra insurance behind Carr, or do you think, you know, he makes it through the season healthy and fine? And, you know, if you get down to your backup quarterback, is it going to make much of a difference? I mean, if Carr's out and McGloin's in, is he going to take you to the playoffs? Personally, I don't think so. But, again, you know, that's something that they have to decide as the coaching staff. They got to figure out what's up. I personally think he's an okay guy. I don't think he's that good. He has his moments, but he doesn't have enough of his moments as far as I'm concerned. But that's just me. So, yeah, if you could trade somebody and they're willing to give you anything for him, cool. But, I really wouldn't be 100% against go ahead and cutting him if it came down to him and somebody else that you feel like you could use in multiple different positions.
Yes, sir. And one last comment before we wind things up to remind everyone just how far along this roster has come. It was only a couple years ago that after 53-man cuts, the Oakland Raiders decided to hang on to two punters, because their roster was so garbage that they couldn't even justify taking more depth along the D-line or secondary or O-line or anywhere over holding two punters, because that's how crappy the roster was. Now, we're looking at guys like Leon Orr being cut at the 75-man, not even the 53-man. It's an exciting time, Raider Nation. And by the time we come back at you for another Black Hole Banner podcast, we'll be gearing up for the first game of the year. And absolutely. I can't wait to talk some real football.
Absolutely, absolutely. Before we get out of there, man, you got some shout-outs you want to give?
Man, I got to confess to being ill-prepared this week. I did not write down new names to shout-out. I know we got some of the normal guys that we always want to shout-out to. Our man, Erie Raider, that dude is always showing us some love. Neil Pan, always showing us some love. Pooja Zulu, always showing us some love. Nick Easy out in the U.K., along with, I believe it's Mark Lubinsky out in the U.K., always showing us some love. Much love to all Raider Nation. But yeah, you hit it with some specific names. You got them. I apologize for Raider Nation for not doing my homework this week.
Oh, it's all good. It's all good. You know I got it locked down. Victor Gutierrez, shout out to him. Matter of fact, he's a Raider fan in the 254, which is Texas. So shout out to him. Not mad at that. You know, I got to start the whole Raider in Texas thing. You know, that's how we roll. Shout out to Slim Steve. He always checks in with us, but shout out to him.
Yes, sir.
5-1 Oaktown. Got to shout out him. He's a good dude all the time. Always checking in. Who else we got? Hold on. I got some more. There was one, and I got to remember. Oh. Raider Tim 818. He's trying to make some Black Hole Banter podcast T-shirts. So I got to shout out Raider Tim 818. Man, that's a good dude. I'm Josh Man. That's Joshua Miller. He's a good dude. Matter of fact, he tweeted me and said, "I don't feel that confident about the Raiders going into this season." So you know, that was his comment after the game. Mike Himes. Shout out to my man Mike Himes. Robbie Castor. Shout out to him. Ryan the hockey guy, he said what's up. So one shout out to him. Who else we got? Mackenzie Kendall. Shout out to Mackenzie Kendall and Marion Simon. They both hit me up saying what up. And of course my man Corey Lang, he's always checking in. That's at Raider Architect. He's a good dude, always hits us up. So that's just a few names for right now that I want to shout out. Anyone else, send me a tweet, send James a tweet at Raiders Reporter or at your boy Q254. We'll definitely make that happen for you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Always on Twitter, Down to Talk Raiders. And we always appreciate everyone who shows us love and supports the podcast. Love Raider Nation. The reason we do is for y'all. So everyone who shows us love, we're going to do our best to show some love back.
Absolutely. I couldn't have said it better myself. So I ain't going to say nothing else myself. That's just how I roll.
All right, Raider Nation. With that, we're out. We'll see you right before the start of the preseason or the regular season. Excuse me.
Man, where are you at, man?
Head's not there, man. Head's not there. And too excited about football.
I heard that. It's all good. Raider Nation, shout out to you. Big yay, yay. Like Ice Cube would say.
Yes, sir. Peace. It's the way of life. Yeah.
Raider Nation.
On top, down low, it one way. That's through the black hole. Game time, talk is dead. Just win, baby. Enough said. On top, down low. Only one way, that's through the black hole. Game time, talk is dead. Just win, baby.